I'm Howard Levy, and you're listening to Inspirational Indie Authors. I'm a writer, editor, and multimedia manager for the Alliance of Independent Authors, and every week I interview a member of Ally who has done something remarkable and inspiring. This is the only show in our Ask Ally series that does not focus on the business side of self-publishing. My guests talk about their writing and what inspires them, and why they are inspiring to other authors. Diana Steven is in her 70s and is just beginning to hit her stride as a prolific indie author. Her third self-published book, called Sunflowers Under Fire, is set in World War I and the Bolshevik Revolution. It's based on stories told to her by her mother, and it's a finalist for the 2019 Whistler Independent Book Awards, sponsored by the Writers Union of Canada. Diana is able to draw on a wide range of experience, from working at a meatpacking plant to an actress and a model, but most of all, as a family counselor, to accurately portray people in difficult circumstances.
I'm Diana Steven, and I'm an author of three novels and a novelette, but I didn't get here overnight, and I started writing novels quite late in my life. I guess I see myself as a Jill of all trades. Some people have suggested that maybe I'm a Renaissance woman, and I never quite understood why they would say that. But then when I look at my work career, I started out working, I was 15. I worked as a cashier, a baker's helper, later worked at a meatpacking plant, skinning wieners. That was a university job in the summertime. And got married after my third year of a home economics degree. And then graduated when I was 7 months pregnant with my Bachelor of Science in Home Economics honors. And then another child came along, and we had two children, and then I decided to go back to my Master of Social Work and became a family therapist for 25 years. And during those 25 years, I burned out twice and had two other different kinds of jobs, working as a life insurance agent and another time working at CBC as a freelance TV reporter for a sports journal. It was a local show in British Columbia covering athletes.
But wait, there's more.
And I have to add, I was also a professional model. I did in Winnipeg. And that was a time when they had no agents, and so I did that on my own, sort of as well as doing the clinical work, because modeling isn't a full time thing. You get called off. But anyway, I did print ads, couturier shows, commercials. And then later, I also got into professional acting. So I've done series and movies of the week. And it's been a crazy life, Howard. Crazy.
Translation. Diana's entire life has been book research. She has a deep well of experience from which she can draw material. But it was her work as a family therapist where she learned about love, family, and other relationships. The stuff that makes characters come alive.
I love my work as a family therapist. I graduated with a Master of Social Work in 1972, and I was very fortunate that my mentor at the University of Manitoba was a man who was a family therapist at the Wisconsin Mental Health Center for 10 years prior to coming to the university. So he inspired me to look at the family, and how it impacted on a person's behavior. So at the time, this is back in 1972, I read every single article and book that was written about family therapy. So it was quite an interesting time. And I think by delving into all of that literature and then seeing firsthand, like working with families, and we videotaped them and we studied the videotapes about, we'd code the communication patterns. I mean, it was fascinating, Howard. I just lapped it up. It was an exciting time. So that certainly has given me lots of material. So I saw everyone from janitors to millionaires. I counseled lawyers and chartered accountants, and it was short-term counseling. But again, I was exposed to a breadth of people, like with different stories to tell. you know, now that I'm a storyteller, you know, I have lots to draw on in terms of some of that, the human condition and how we grapple with the things that come our way in our lives. I mean, it's not easy, right? It's just not easy. Because my life has been like, you know, all chopped up into all these different occupations that I've pursued. I tend to write in different genres as well. I don't know. It's just my curiosity, I think, that takes me to all these different places.
Diana gets her inspiration from the stories of others. But also, because she's led such a diverse life, she draws on herself and memories of her own emotions.
So in A Cry from the Deep, which is about an underwater photographer who is about to go on a treasure hunt for one of the lost ships of the Spanish Armada off the coast of Ireland. But before she goes, she buys this antique ring and starts having nightmares and dreams of a woman from another time. So it's a romance, it's mystery, it's adventure. But I drew on myself, too, in terms of, you know, the feelings of what a woman might be going through when she's looking for love or had been disappointed in love or all of that. So, but I had to do a lot of research for that one, too. Again, my curiosity. I've never scuba dived. I've snorkeled. So, again, each of my three novels, I've had to do a lot of research. But I love research because I'm learning. My second book was The Rubber Fence, and that was inspired by my first job as a clinical social worker on a psychiatric ward in Winnipeg. And I arrived there in 1972, all excited about doing family therapy, and discovered that that wasn't so easy because of the hierarchy on this ward. But I've chosen not to have my protagonist as a social worker. She's a psychiatric intern who, you know, is very passionate about the work she's doing and discovers that there's shock treatment still going on. And this, if you recall, this was around the time when One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest came out. And so there was a lot of shock, I guess, from the public as to what was really going on in these insane asylums. And I had just come up with family therapy, which at that time was looking at the family as being a factor in people's mental illness. So I arrived there all excited and naive about the role of drugs in treatment and the role of shock treatment in depression. And anyway, I was quite traumatized, Howard, by the 9 months I worked on the ward. Well, you know, originally it was a screenplay called Shrink Proof, and I had an agent in Toronto, an agent in Vancouver, and my agent in Toronto sent it up to Meg Ryan and to Jodie Foster's agent, and Jodie Foster's agent loved it, but then Jodie passed on it, and so I decided to put it on the shelf, and then, you know, years later I resurrected it and wrote it as a novel.
And now we can talk about her most recent book, Sunflowers Under Fire, which is based on stories about her grandmother's experiences during World War I and the Russian Revolution.
I'm a grandmother. I have three grandchildren now. And over time, you know, during their growing up years, I've told little stories about my Baba, my grandmother, Lucia Mazurek. And so, I guess the anecdotes, which are stories I got from my mother about my grandmother, were interesting to my grandmother. And especially my oldest granddaughter, Chloe. And Chloe said, you know, Bubby, she called me Bubby, you should write this book. And so I thought, maybe I should. So I had all of these stories my mother had told me on my computer. I had been collecting them over the years. Every time I visited my mother, I would take my laptop and she would repeat those stories, and I would try to keep them straight by writing them down on my laptop, you know, for family history. And so I had, you know, over 100 pages there of, you know, stories. Well, it starts with my mother's birth, you know, and my mother would tell me about her birth that her mother told her about. And when my grandmother was giving birth to my mother, her husband was in Lutsk. That was in Russia at the time. It's now in Ukraine. And he was in Lutsk volunteering to fight for the Tsar's army. So here she is in her little farm cottage about to deliver her eighth child. And he's away in the neighboring city volunteering to go and fight, which, you know, really made her angry because she knew the Germans and Austrians were about to invade their area, and what was she going to do without a husband to help her and protect her? And so that's how the novel starts. And then we move into, you know, her having to flee into a refugee camp in the Caucasus while her home burns. And so we go through, you know, her trials in the refugee camp and how she fared with, that was her eighth child, but she lost two, so actually she fled with six children. And the refugee camp and the typhus epidemic and the Bolshevik Revolution and, you know, the Polish occupation. So, you know, and there were losses and there were also joys, you know, a few weddings. So it was all of that. It was such a joy to write this story. And I discovered my Baba in the end in a way that I never knew her. I mean, I shared a bedroom with her for the first 15 years of my life. But, you know, she never talked about what happened in the old country at all to me. And I never heard her say anything about it. And I never saw her cry either, which sort of was astounding after I delved into her history more. But I think it was, you know, much like, you know, those soldiers who come back from war, and they don't talk about what they experienced and what they saw and what they went through, because I think for them it would be to reawaken those wounds and to go through that pain all over again, you know?
Sunflowers Under Fire is also an immigrant story and a universal story that many can identify with.
One woman said to me, she reminds me of my grandmother, a strong woman who, you know, toiled, you know, in sort of anonymously, and no one knows about how hard she worked and what she went through in her life. And she reminded me of that strong spirit that a lot of these women who are not educated, who don't, you know, have wealth behind them, and what they have endured and how they have, what they've sacrificed to raise their families. So I've had that. And then I've also had another response from a woman in Texas who told me that this reminds her of the immigrant situation that's happening in the States, and it makes her more conscious of what people, the desperation they go through in order, you know, and the choices they have to make to leave the land that they love. I mean, my story basically, you know, ends when, you know, my Baba wants to come to Canada. You know, and it's not an easy decision, and it's quite an interesting story about how many people wanted to come and how many couldn't do it, and what she had to do to make that choice to leave the land that she loved and the language that she knew and the family she had to leave behind, and so, you know, I think it's touching people in that way, Howard, and I'm thrilled because I never expected that.
Well, Diana is still writing and working on her new book, one on her grandmother's immigrant experience in Canada. Her advice for other writers? Just keep writing.
But I think if people are looking to write, just to read a lot, I really believe in reading a lot and to write, even if, you know, you just, because not everything you write is brilliant or wonderful, and writing is rewriting and rewriting and rewriting and not giving up, I think.
You've been listening to Inspirational Indie Authors. I'm Howard Lovey. If you are a member of the Alliance of Independent Authors and would like to be considered for the show, please write to me at howard@allianceindependentauthors.org and tell me what inspires you and how you can inspire other authors. As always, find more author advice, tips, and tools at our self-publishing advice center, selfpublishingadvice.org. Now, go write and publish.